It's so good to have Bunny Pounds with us and with Christeth Engage. She's part of our church family, spoke here several times, and we are blessed to have her. And she has a word from the Lord for us. It's to challenge us, to encourage us. And so, Bunny, why don't you come? Why don't you welcome Bunny Pounds this morning, all right?
Thank you, Pastor Ken. Whew, well, we had an awesome first service, so thank y'all for coming to second service. Usually, you know, I have to warm up in the first service. It just went, we just went. So we are excited. I think I warmed up with how many hours of teaching yesterday. Well, we're excited to be with you guys. We started Christians Engage at this church. November 2019, we filmed our launch video. I don't know how many of y'all were here, but if you look at any of our video footage for the ministry, you guys are prominently on there. And I can't believe all that God's done in just 3.5 years. We are now reaching over 140,000 Christians around the country that have are in our system to pray, vote, and engage. And we're scaling to 1 million Christians before the presidential election. That's where we're going. So God's going to provide the funds. He's going to provide everything. But we are here to help the church pray, vote, engage regularly. So I'm just going to give my little announcements, and then we'll get into a message on Nehemiah, the leadership of Nehemiah today. I'm going to call you to great leadership. But yeah, God's doing so much. You have, so our main mission here on the screen is for us to pray for our city, state, nation. Can we all agree with that? We pray for our elected officials, vote in every election, even primaries and local elections. I don't want to hear anybody complaining at the presidential year next year that if you didn't vote in the primary, I don't want to hear any complaining about who the candidates are, because the race is really in the primaries. And then we have city elections. I mean, you look around, walk around Wichita Falls, you can see all of the signs happening. I don't know if y'all have done any research on those candidates yet, but I want to call you to research them, and we will help you. On November 7th, you have a constitutional amendment election. That means all throughout the state of Texas, we're going to be voting on amendments to the Texas Constitution that the Texas legislature passed down in Austin. These are very, very important. There's 14 propositions on the ballot, and you, the people of Texas, get to choose whether you say yes or no to those propositions. So what we with Christians Engaged have done, we're going to send you text and emails when early voting begins, when early voting ends, 3 days before the election on election day with your guide, your Texas Christian guide, to vote in this election. You've also got, in this county, unlike many counties around the state, most of the counties have their local elections in May, but you guys look like you have it here November 7th. So there's a lot of people on the ballot that you need to research, but we will help you with that. That's what we do, is remind you to vote and help you vote biblical values and do the research. If you turn off Netflix for 30 minutes and you research your ballot, print off your ballot, research it, you're going in 95% more educated than anybody else. I'm telling you. You know those people with the signs that stand outside by the polls? Why do they even do that? The reason they do that is because people actually walk into the polling places and don't know who they're going to vote for. That makes me crazy. So please check these out. One of the propositions on the ballot is property tax reform. Anybody want their property taxes lowered? So I don't want to hear you complain if you don't go out and vote, okay? So this is the QR code for Encounter Church. You guys, this church is a strategic ministry partner with us. So take a picture of that, scan that. If you haven't taken the pledge to pray, vote, and engage, you can also share this in your community with other people, and they're going to get on the Encounter Church email list as well as ours, okay? But this is really important that you take this commitment. It's not a blood covenant, okay? Don't worry. You know, God's not going to hate you if you don't vote in election. But we want to help you. If you do this every time from now until the end of your life and you inspire 10 other people to do it, America would be changed. I'm telling you. If every Christian, only 50% of the body of Christ is voting, if the other 50% would participate, we wouldn't even be talking about half the stuff we're talking about right now. So I want to encourage you to do that. We're going to play a video. We have a national conference coming up in Allen, Texas. So if you go down to Decatur and you go 380 over to McKinney, right below that is Allen. I want to show you what we're doing November 3rd and 4th, and I'm inviting the entire church for free. So $55 tickets you get for free. So go get a hotel room. But this church has took us on as a ministry project. As you can see, I loved walking into the church and seeing us on the missions board. We're missionaries to America. So I'm just so thankful for you guys coming alongside us. And so we want you to be with us. If you want to put this on your calendar, it's Friday night and all day Saturday. We'll be done at 5 on Saturday, so you can come back. But we're going to play the video, and I apologize to the live stream that you're going to have to just listen to it. But we're going to play this real fast.
Christians around America are waking up. We can't sit on the sidelines any longer. God is breaking down walls between denominations, races, and generations, and uniting us around a mission of prayer and action for the nation that we love. Christians Engaged has a part in that mission. We are giving the body of Christ their marching orders to impact America. Come to the Wake Up Conference. This national conference is designed just for you, the Awakening Church. November 3rd and 4th in Allen, Texas. Speakers include the Honorable Michelle Bachman, Kelly Shackelford of First Liberty Institute, Bunny Pounds, Congressman Michael Clough, Billy Hallowell, Kyle Lance Martin, Texas Senator Brian Hughes, Pennsylvania Representative Stephanie Borowitz, Kevin Freeman, Reverend Raphael Cruz, Cameron Green, Worship with Klaus Kuhn and Bethany Stevens. The Wake Up Conference, where prayer, worship, education, and inspiration converge. Sign up today.
Woo! Richard Harris from Truth and Liberty Coalition, Andrew Womack's ministry is also going to be with us now too. So it's going to be awesome. So you guys come over to Allen, hang out with us. We just want to bless you. And it's also my national release of, or my soft launch of my book. So I wrote a book. Isn't that crazy? And Charisma's publishing it nationally, called Jesus and Politics, One Woman's Walk with God in a Mudslinging Profession. And I affectionately call this an Intimacy with Jesus book disguised as a political book, but it's really to help us all learn to walk with God. And, you know, my crazy story is I've got to walk with members of Congress for 16 years and disciple them in the Word and pray for them and be that person in their life. And so, I mean, everybody signed off on this, from Senator Ted Cruz to Lee Zeldin to Sean Duffy. All my former clients signed off on this book, 30 elected officials. So that was a feat in itself that only God could do, believe me. We're so excited. So pre-order it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, ChristianBook.com. I need lots of pre-orders because we want to hit the top of the bookseller. When it comes out February 6th, Lord willing, we're going to be on the radar. And so God's so good. So we're going to get into Nehemiah. If you'll open your Bible to Nehemiah 1. Nehemiah is only 13 short chapters, so you can actually read the whole book this week. I give you that as your assignment. How many of y'all know you can actually read the Bible at home? Yeah. At home, you can read the Bible. You don't have to come to church to do that. So Nehemiah is one of my favorite stories of leadership in the Bible. It is just, I think he's such a model for us right now in the modern church. And I actually used to teach this as a Bible study to Senate staffers, House of Representatives staffers, and congressional staffers. And I would teach it over and over again. We'd chronologically go through the book of Nehemiah. And I recently wrote a book. This will be my second book, is Nehemiah, coming out whenever, 2 years from now probably. But anyway, this Bible study, I did 16 videos on this. And so if you want to go to our website at christiansengaged.org, you can sign up for the first 4 for free. And then if you'd like it, you can sign up for it. But I highly encourage any of you guys that feel a push towards more leadership development. Nehemiah is such an incredible example of that. But what's happening right now is we are experiencing a leadership crisis in our nation. The absolute worst time. I heard somebody, actually Tim Barton, David Barton's son, we were speaking together in Corpus Christi on Monday, and he said, even if we all, quote unquote, drain the swamp, we don't have people of faith to fill the places that need to be filled. That's the reality. So whether it's education, media, business, you know, actually men and women actually pastoring our families, like, let's break it down, right? We all, there's a call to leadership that we all need to be stepping into. And because there's a void, the enemy just comes in like a flood. He fills that void with people that don't have a biblical worldview, people that are pushing institutions and our Chamber of Commerce and everywhere else in the wrong direction, right? And so Jeremiah 29, we know this, but this, the context of this scripture is Israel was in an extremely, extremely hard time. And he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." That's the call of the Lord for our lives, is even in the midst of what looks like many times a national crisis. I mean, we don't have a Speaker of the House right now. That's pretty crazy. Even in the middle of leadership crises, God is seeking after our hearts. And if we seek after him, we will find him if we search for him with all our heart. Amen? And that is the call of God on our lives. And so, you know, God wants us to be leaders who are boldly follow him and impact our culture. When you become a born-again Christian, when you receive and you miraculously believe by faith that Jesus died, buried, and was resurrected and glorified, which that's, by the way, a miracle that we actually believe that. Yeah. When you are chosen and God calls you to himself and you believe that story and you receive him as Lord of your life, your heart and your spirit is regenerated, right, into newness of life. And then we spend the whole entire rest of our life learning his word, letting his word and meditation on the word renew our minds, our emotions, our spirits, break off bondages from our past, right? Break off all the roots of our family that, you know, everything that we think disqualifies us. And we get to walk and we get to love Jesus and know him and we get to be more Christ-like every day. It's a miracle, absolute miracle. And then, you know, one day we take our last breath and we see him face to face. And we just continue the journey, right, of walking with him. So, but what God's trying to do right now, he's trying to call us as leaders to boldly follow him, to make the choices every day that are not convenient in our culture. It's a lot easier to sit there. Believe me, I'm addicted to Survivor right now. You know, we're on season 40, you know, 23 of 40 something seasons. It's easy to just sit there all day long and veg out on the TV. But if you don't put Jesus on your calendar, he's never going to be priority. And so he's calling us to boldly follow him and impact our culture. And that's one heart at a time. I mean, yesterday I was extremely tired. We taught here from 9 to 4 yesterday, and I wandered into my hotel room and there was this sweet girl behind the counter. And I was like really tired. I mean, really tired. I slept 11 hours last night. That's how tired I was. And she was having some sickness issues. She wasn't there at the counter. And so about 8 minutes I waited and she finally, I said, "Are you okay?" And she's like, "No, I feel bad." And I prayed for her. And she says, "I've actually been listening and seeing Bible scriptures on Instagram. And I've started reading the Bible. I'm in Leviticus now." And I'm like, "You should come to church with me tomorrow." And so she came this morning to the early service, brought her daughter. So we are all salt and light. We are called every moment, whether we're tired, whether we feel weak, whether we feel unqualified, to be salt and light. Matthew 5 says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden." That is who we are. It's who we are as believers, whether we feel like it or not. We are the preserving factors in this culture. We are the ones that cannot be hidden. And Nehemiah is a special example of a strong leader for our time. I mean, this man was incredible. And I would like to submit to you that you, Encounter Church, are the Nehemiahs of today. Amen. You are the Nehemiahs of today. But every leader who has accomplished anything important, it starts with a calling. How many of y'all have been born again by the Holy Spirit? Like, you know you've been regenerated. Okay, great. Then God speaks to you and he like calls you to more and he calls you to take this step and that step. And, you know, you like, what? I'm supposed to start a business. What? I'm supposed to start a pest control company. What? I'm supposed to start a Bible study. What? I'm supposed to start like helping my kids school in the PTA. What? I don't feel qualified. But every leader is called out by God, and it starts by a calling. And Nehemiah was not an exception to that rule. God initiates and creates the good works and calls us to walk in them. Now, this is important for us to understand. This is not a religious thing. This is not a legalism thing. This is God changing us from the inside out. And then we walk in the good works. Like Pastor was saying, we choose to rejoice. Right? Faith without works is dead. Don't let that be a heavy thing. Let that be a free thing. Man, I get to walk in the good works that God's called me to. I get to walk this out every day. I get to be more like Jesus every day. Amen? Amen. But in Nehemiah 1, Nehemiah is a humble servant. He's in a Persian kingdom. If you remember, the Israelites were pulled into captivity. Babylon came in, took captives of the Israelites, took them to Babylon. Remember Daniel served beside the king. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar says, I'm God, you should worship me. No, we're not going to worship you. All that. Then the Persian kingdom comes in, the next reign of power. Well, this is in Nehemiah's time, and they had sent back people. Cyrus, a worthy king, had sent back a remnant of the people of Israel to go back to Jerusalem and to live there. They were not doing well, though. They were not doing well. And the defenses were broken down. Ezra had gone and he had started reading the scriptures. They had to start at the beginning of the foundation, which lets us go back to the story of God. Who does God call us to? What is the story? What's the law? He starts orally reading the scriptures to people. And but there's enemies all around. I mean, they are starving to death. It is not a good situation. And messengers came and told Nehemiah what was going on in Israel. And he was pierced to the heart. The simple man was pierced to the heart. Nehemiah 1:3, they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down and its gates are burned with fire. Verse 4, so it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Nehemiah's response to this horrible news was to take it to God, and he was deeply impacted. His emotions were impacted, his heart was impacted, and he went to prayer and fasting. I would like to submit to you, how many of us, when we hear about what's happening in our nation, actually respond in that fashion? Most of us, we turn on CNN or Fox News, or we're listening to talk radio, or we're seeing stuff on the internet, and it causes us to get angry and fearful. Anybody in the room? Angry and fearful. But what if God wants to touch our hearts and our lives, and he wants to put us in a place of intercession for the crisis that's happening? What if we get to be partner with God in intercession? So even as we see crazy things happening, you know, like the border crisis, I mean, this is absolute crisis, right? But what is God's perspective on what's happening? I mean, we're feeling it here in Texas, and now states around the country are feeling it. What is God's perspective? What is God's perspective on injustice and lawlessness? What's God's perspective on the kids that are being human trafficked across the border? What is God's perspective on the foreigners that are in this land? How are we supposed to love them and bring them the gospel? You know, what is God's perspective? And most times, I would submit to you, it is not within our partisan thinking or it's not within our thoughts of what we think in that moment until we go to the place of prayer and we ask God for his perspective. And that's what happened with Nehemiah. He was a simple cupbearer. He was in a noble yet lowly position. If you can imagine, I love Nehemiah because I think of him like a staffer for a congressional member, right? That's what I've done for almost 20 years. And he was the one that tasted the wine, made sure it wasn't poisoned, tasted the food, served him. Think of him as an exalted waiter for the king, right? And he's in the court. He is in important meetings. He's like the silent person there. You know, I love in Nehemiah 1, it later talks about how he was he addressed the queen. He acknowledged that the queen was in the room. Why? Because I can imagine that the king is doing important business and Nehemiah gets bored and the queen gets bored and they're just having conversations, right? And I mean, he treated them like human beings. He was respectful, but I'm sure his job for the most part was very mundane many days. I mean, okay, this is not a lofty job. He's in this lowly position, but he consistently served. He was faithful to what he was supposed to do. He was faithful in that position. He consistently served within the presence of the king and the queen. And then the call of God comes in an instant. Ooh, that's what happens. The call of God comes in an instant, and it shifts everything in his life. It shifts everything. He experienced a supernatural response, not a natural response to the news that he was given. He could have just heard the news of what was happening in Jerusalem, and he could have just, you know, not responded at all. He could have not felt anything. He might have, you know, we live in a world right now where everything, we're getting so much information, it's hard to process, right? I want to just stop right now, and I want to pray for our brothers and sisters in Israel right now that are experiencing enemies all around, right? And, you know, Israel just declared war this morning. Hamas has killed thousands of people. It's like they're 9/11, if you can put it in perspective of that. But let's just pause for a minute and let us feel that for a second, the reality of what our most important democratic allies in the Middle East are experiencing right now. Lord, we just thank you for Israel. We thank you for the call of God on this chosen people. And Lord, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You said if we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, we would prosper those who love her. And God, we pray, Lord, for the people of Israel. We pray for their defenses. We pray for wisdom and discernment for Netanyahu and everybody concerning. We pray for peace. We pray for the Palestinians, God, that you love and that you, those innocent people that are going to be affected as well on their side, God. And we pray, Lord, for the eyes of the Jewish people to be open to their Messiah in the midst of suffering and persecution, in the midst of warfare. Lord, let the remnant of the house of Israel be saved, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So he hears the news of the war with Hamas, right? And he's affected, right? I mean, that's reality, what was happening. And the burden for Jerusalem led Nehemiah to mourn and pray. Don't be afraid of tears. Don't be afraid of tears. Tears are prayers. You know, in the book of Psalms, he says, I keep your tears in a bottle, right? There's something happening with tears right now. Why? Because our hearts are so hard that we can't feel things many times. And so when tears happen, it's usually the Holy Spirit. Go with it. So he mourns, he prays, he fasts, he prays. And what happened is a miracle. Nehemiah gets transformed through praying and fasting. All of a sudden, he is no longer limited to his current role in his thinking. He's not just a waiter. He's not just a cupbearer. He is a leader because the call of God came over his life to do something for his brethren in Jerusalem. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a simple cupbearer in a foreign kingdom who's never been to Jerusalem walking into Jerusalem? Okay, this is before emails, text messages, social media. He has no way to tell the news that he's coming to Jerusalem. He walks into town and goes, hey, guys, I'm going to help you rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And they get that done in 52 days. 52 days. That is leadership extraordinaire. Elon Musk can't even compete, right? There's no competition for that. Why? Because God was with him. God empowered him. He called him. And Nehemiah wasn't limited to his position or his role. He asked the king. The king says in Nehemiah 1, I see that you're not happy. I have never seen you not joyful before. What's happening? He like identified that Nehemiah was not okay. And he says, well, how can I help you? Well, I feel like I need to go back to Jerusalem and I need to help them repair these walls. And he's like, okay, we'll take a leave of absence from your job. Great. Here's money. Here's all the resources you need. Here's the letters you need to go past the nations on your way to Jerusalem. And oh, by the way, you asked me for those things, but I'll also give you a whole security detail and everything you need. Lumber, all this stuff. I mean, he just above and beyond what he could ask or think the king gave him. And he comes back, and because he was blessed, because he was favored by a foreign nation, not even godly people, he walks into Jerusalem, and everybody's like, well, obviously you're favored and blessed. Yeah, come on. Obviously God's doing something here. And he mobilizes the people to ignore the enemies, Sanballat, Tobiah, all them, ignore all those people, ignore your weaknesses, and ignore the big picture, because you can't think about how to repair the whole wall at one swoop. So he put, if you read in Nehemiah, that he put each family in every community had their section of the wall. So instead of going, oh God, what's happening in Washington, D.C.? It's just too deep. No, he said, repair your wall, repair your community, repair your section of the wall. And because he did all that, then the wall was repaired in 52 days. It was a natural miracle that people could turn their heart and their eyes off of, let Nehemiah figure out the big picture. Let God figure out the big picture. Ooh, that's a word. Let God figure out the big picture and do what you're called to do. Do what you're called to do. That's where my heart is. I mean, when we get into 2024, you know, depending on what happens in the next few months, you know, it could be the most apathetic American citizenry we've ever had, right? So turn your eyes off of the national stage and look what's happening in Wichita Falls. Look about what you can do here. But God loves to use weak people humbly dependent on him. And that was Nehemiah. He was weak. He didn't feel qualified, but he was dependent on God and he let God move in his life. 1 Corinthians 1:26 and 27. This is us. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Sound like anybody else in this room? But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Anybody feel like they don't have the gifts and talents that somebody else in the room has? Anybody feel like they never have enough money in their bank account? Anybody feel like your family is the most broken family on the planet and that your childhood was totally messed up? Anybody? Man, sounds like you're the person that God wants to pick. It sounds like you're the chosen ones. The weak, the base, the I'm not as educated as everybody else. I don't have the wisdom. I don't know what I'm doing, God. I don't know how to grow from so many trucks of pest control to so many other trucks of pest control. I don't even know. But I'm on this journey, right? I'm on this journey, and God, you are going to do something here. And that's actually how Jesus picked his disciples. I mean, look at these fishermen that he chose. I mean, what in the world? The most uneducated, the most untrained, they were not sophisticated. They didn't have good relation. You know, they were not like influencing people and making, you know, they weren't the, you know, read all the leadership books. Those were not the people he picked, right? But when the Holy Spirit descended on them on Acts 2, all of a sudden they became the greatest evangelists this planet has ever seen. And they shook the world up, right? And in Acts 4:13, it says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and that they realized that they had been with Jesus. I don't know about y'all, but I just want to be known as somebody that's been with Jesus. If that's my testimony, I'm a winner. If that's my, you know, fruit of my life, then I've won. Because that's really what impacts people's hearts and lives, is I've been with Jesus and I'm going to impact their heart by the Holy Spirit, right? So that means all of us are qualified. All of us are qualified. I love in The Chosen, if you watched The Chosen, when Jesus calls Matthew, you know, here's the tax collector, and he's like visibly impacted by the love and compassion of Jesus, right? He's transformed. It's just so powerful. But we should be known as someone who's been with Jesus. If that is the goal of our life, we are on the right path. Put that up on your Instagram. Take a picture of this quote. Be known, slip to the next slide. Be known as someone who has been with Jesus. Let that be the motto of your life. Put it on your refrigerator. Jesus, I want to be known as someone who's been with you. Well, that means we have to prioritize him. That means we have to go deeper in our relationship with him. You know, we're called into his kingdom. We're called into relationship with him to know him and make him known. Right. Lauren Cunningham just passed away 2 days ago, the founder of YWAM, and he taught the world that motto, know God and make him known. Yeah. Know God and make him known. If that's all we do, know God and make him known. That is what we're called to do on the planet, right? Yeah. But knowing God is the solid foundation for every ministry and for all our leadership in every place that we're leaders. It's hard. I'll tell you, the busier I get, the harder this is. I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching to myself, but this is it. This is it. This is how we actually impact people. And so Nehemiah declares, you know, after he's in his prayer and fasting, he's declaring who God is. He's not declaring who he is. In Nehemiah 1:5, he says, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, who has kept your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. He's not saying, oh God, I am so great. I'm such a wonderful leader. No. He's saying, God, you are great and awesome. You've kept your covenant. You're extending mercy. You love those. You love us. You are going to help us keep your commandments. He's declaring who Jesus is, who God is, and that transforms his life. Because now it's not about him. It's about God. It's about God. Nehemiah never trusted in himself. He trusted in God. He never trusted in himself. He trusted in God. One of my favorite scriptures, especially for this season of my life, is 1 Thessalonians 5:24. If you can flip over there. There we go. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. That absolutely takes all the pressure off myself. I don't have to find a million Christians. He who called me is faithful, who also will do it. He who called you to lead a Bible study is faithful, who also will do it. He who called you to get involved with your PTA will do it. He who called you to be an evangelist and walk around the city leading people to Jesus with a little wristband or however you want to do it, he is called you, will be faithful to do it. That is our hope. Psalms 119 says, through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your lamp is a light lamp to my feet and a light to my path. He transforms us from the inside out through his word. And that light shines on our path and it shows us where we're supposed to go. It's, I spend a lot of time with 20-year-olds, and they are so consumed with what, and I guess I was too when I was in my 20s, but with what God's called me to be, and what, you know, I'm like, what's my calling, and what direction do I need to go? You know, stop worrying about all that. I mean, frankly, stop worrying about it all. Even if you're in your 60s or 70s, what's my next season? Don't worry about it. Just love Jesus. Know him and let him be known through you and watch God move in your life. I mean, that make it simple. So we get to Matthew 28. Here is the uneducated, unlearned, these, you know, 12 disciples he's had walking with him during his little time in his 30s. Jesus, he dies, he's resurrected. He's about to be glorified. He spent 40 days walking around with them, teaching them what he needs them to know before he goes to his Father. And you see in Matthew 28, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, you know, and when Jesus is resurrected, it's the women that meet him at the tomb, and he turns them into the first evangelists, right, to go back to the disciples. And then he's brings them all, gathers all these people around the mountainside, and there was an appointed time and a place for them to worship and to know him. And he appoints a time and says, come here. And I love, even as he's delivering these words, which we call the Great Commission, it says, I think Matthew put this in just for me. It says, and some doubted. Some doubted. Gosh. So, you know, he didn't take the doubters and put them in another corner and say, here, doubters, this is not for you. I'm releasing this message about go make disciples, but you doubters, you're disqualified. No, he delivers it to the whole group, whether they're doubting or full of faith. I love that. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Who has the authority? Jesus. He's got the power. He's got the authority. It's his work. It's his story. It's his legacy. You know, if he's the one that's getting known to be famous around the globe, it's not us. Yeah, right. So, you know, it's his legacy. It's his name being glorified. His name is his reputation and his ways and his character. It's his ways. It's his name. So that takes all the pressure off of us, which is so great. That's how you get up every morning and have joy in doing crazy things like I'm doing. So, and then he says, go therefore, because all authority has been given to me, go therefore and make disciples of all the nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. He promises us his presence. Gosh, I mean, I can preach on that all day. You know, he promises us his presence. So all of us are empowered by the fivefold ministry, right? To then do the work of the ministry, Ephesians says. The fivefold ministry empowers us to do the work of the ministry. You're not off the hook. It's not Pastor Ken and Jeannie. That's it. Not it. It's you are empowered now to go do the work of the ministry in all parts of this city. And you should be teaching people. You should be discipling people. You should be baptizing people. When's the last time you've baptized somebody in your backyard? I want to call you to that. Changes your life when you get to lead somebody to Jesus and you take ownership of the, discipling them, and you baptize them and you walk with them. And man, God comes more alive in your heart when you do that. And that's what God's calling us to do in this hour. And so all of us simply say yes. We say yes to Jesus every day. I was sharing with Pastor Ken and Jeannie last night, and we were eating, and I said, you know, I can't believe beginning of 2018, after my race for Congress, I was feeling a call. I really felt like God had a word from me to the church at large, and I'm like, I hadn't spoken outside of our house church movement. We had started three house churches, and we would travel around and speak, and I'd spoken in Romania, but I'd never spoken in churches like this. And one morning, I was sitting at the prayer room and at Upper Room, and the fire of God just hit me, and I heard the Lord say, start releasing the word I've given you. And I was like, what? I'd seen a post from Jeremiah Johnson where he said, where are the women that God's forged in fire through suffering and persecution and through the place of prayer and that love the word of God. Where are those women speakers and preachers? And I thought, I'm that woman. It's just something in my heart. Just like, that's me. And I was in that prayer room at 6 a.m. that morning, and my friend Corey Russell came over by the Holy Spirit and laid hands on me and said, start releasing the word that God's given you. Like, whew, it was like confirmation, right? Fire of God's hitting me. I'm on the floor just like, what, God, are you doing? You know, it was one of those defining moments. Like, I've been in politics and government. What about, what's this about releasing the word to the body of Christ? What? And God then called me, said, go find the awakening church. I'm waking them up. Go find them and plug them into training, plug them into habits of prayer, voting, and engagement. But, you know, I had to do something with that. And I asked Corey after we left that prayer meeting that morning, I said, what do I do with this? And he said, be obedient. Be obedient. And he goes, sometimes that means you reach out to other people. Say, I have a word from the Lord. Can I release it? So I was like, okay. So I wrote down three pastors. One of them was Pastor Ken, that I felt like if I sent, you know, called them or texted them that they might have me in their church. And so I did that. And he said, absolutely. I would love for you to come and speak. And the other two said, yes. Within 24 hours, I had all three of those churches booked. And that began the reality of me taking my notes that I had in my quiet time and the things that I had in my journal. I had 20 pages of notes on pray, vote, engage. It, you know, I figured out, you know, what my main message was for America. And I'm like, I want to be an intercessor that calls people to that, where it looks like the kingdom of God is fluid, right? It's not just political. It's not just government. It's that we're supposed to be intercessors and we're supposed to actually be walking with Jesus and doing the stuff as intercessors. And that began everything, right? And I'm just blown away. The last few months have just been, I'll be honest, it's been very humbling, vulnerable to have your previous clients all read your book that you wrote about them and get them to sign off on it. And then to ask everybody from Dr. Jeffers to, oh gosh, it's crazy. David Barton to Rick Green to Kirby Anderson to Dr. Michael Brown to sign off and say, I endorse this ministry and endorse Buddy's life. It's just been an unbelievable process. But I know that God leads us one step at a time. So even where I feel like I'm under a lot of pressure, that I feel like Lord told me that we were going to be at a certain place at the end of next year, the reality that it's His story. It's His vision. It's His ministry. It's His life in us. And we don't have to worry. I'm preaching to myself. I don't have to worry. Don't worry about how many people are going to be at my conference. I'm just, can I be vulnerable? I'm like, I'm under a lot of anxiety about this conference. Don't worry about the press releases going out. Don't worry about everybody and everything, because it's His reputation. It's His story. It's His vision, right? And so some of you are called to take steps with your kids' school. Some of you are called to start getting to know your mayor and your city council in this city. Some of you are called to start leading people to Jesus and filling up these pews. Some of you are supposed to lead more Bible studies in small groups. Some of you are supposed to step out into a new place of leadership or just say yes again to what you're already doing and say, I'm willing to keep doing this, God. Or I'm willing to step to the next level. If that's you, will you just stand up before the Lord saying, I'm willing to go to the next level, or I'm willing to step out into a new place of leadership. I'm saying yes to what the Lord's saying in my heart. I say yes again, Jesus. I say yes again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God, we say yes. We say yes to being the Nehemiahs of our day, God. We don't know what that looks like. Many times we feel weak. We feel like we're not qualified. But God, every day we get to wake up and we get to experience your presence and your word. And if we run to you, Jesus, we experience your life and then we have something to share. And God, show us, give us eyes to see the people in front of us every day. Every meeting we take, every person in our businesses, God, every relationship or customer, client or kids at our kids' school, Lord, that sometimes even that they're hanging out that we're not looking at and we're not seeing how we could be in their life. God, give us eyes to see, Lord, how you want to use us in this generation. We are the people, God, that you've called to be salt and light. And God, we say yes like Nehemiah. Lord, many of us, we feel like we're simply cupbearers. We're simply the waiter. But God, you take weak vessels and you make great leaders. So I thank you, Lord, for every person in this church, God, that feels that call, Lord, that you want to do something in that. And if you feel like you want somebody just to lay hands on you and agree with you, we're just going to open up the altar. I'm going to pray for as many people as want prayer. The ministry team can come down, agree with you, pray with you. But I want this to be a place of agreement that we're going to the next level of leadership with Jesus, and that it's all about him. It's not about us. And I say yes again to that call. So Lord, as we worship God, as we pray, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for leading us and guiding us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.